You reach into the cluster of bottles laid out on the table here in the center of the maze and grab one at random. Pulling it back, you notice that it is the small phial labeled Lust. Now, of course, you are perhaps not instantly enthusiastic about imbibing something that will make you horny, edgy, shaky, needy, without someone or something nearby to sate your lusts on. Fortunately, you're not supposed to imbibe it, and you remember as much. Walking to the nearby pedestal with the word lust written above it, you find yourself pouring the contents of that bottle, the pink roiling liquid, into the basin, and it funnels away almost instantly. Then, a change overtakes the maze. This is not so unfamiliar. You saw it move around earlier. But this is a change on a more profound level. Everything seems to be seen as if through a heat haze. Everything outside of that little chamber in which the pedestals lurk is seen as if through a haze, through a mist of shimmering heat. And as you reach one hand outside of that stone-walled gazebo, outside of the place in which that little puzzle has been left to trouble you, you feel the air pound on your skin, gentle as a lover's touch, and as insistent as a hand at the back of your neck pushing you downward, simultaneously imposing and yet nurturing, there to tell you that you can let everything go. And you pull your hand back, shocked at the invasive thoughts that seem to be lurking in the air out there, waiting for someone or something upon which to take root. Waiting for an outlet, for their frustration, their need. The psychic impressions of all the others who've walked through this maze, who found their lusts sated here. By making an offering of that little lust draft, you've freed them to fly bombastic through the air, to stimulate and titillate, to tempt you into the very follies of lust that ensnared others. And you know that eventually you'll have to step out of that place, beyond whatever wall or protection prevents the oppressive, pleasurable, lust-promising air outside from entering. You will have to step into that haze, and it won't be just your hand or arm extended into it. It will be your whole body caressed and cast about in a wind you cannot see or fully feel, but can yearn for. Part of you recognizes the pure, sepulchral lust that will inundate your brain, sending you casting about for any way to send the electrical signal of arousal from your brain and ground it in something real. You notice, perhaps, that the vines which were laying over the pathways in some places in the maze have begun to recede, sliding backward, retreating into the hedges, which themselves appear hazy, even though they are very close, beyond the confines of the room in which you poured that liquid. And you know you're going to have to take your first step. But the air out there is like sex made solid. Moving through it must be an orgasmic experience. However are you going to walk all the way through the maze? Fortunately, it is at that moment that the walls of the maze begin to shift to the side. It's as if they're receding, like a folding puzzle that's moving back out of the way to reveal the solution. And indeed, when the slow, slithering sound of the maze receding has faded, there is a clear sandy path between you and the gates out of there. Well, clear except for those ripples in the air. That promise of thick heat the moment you step out of your little safety bubble. Steeling yourself, you do so. Now, sometimes in your life, you might have been so aroused that you felt that you just needed to get off. Masturbation, sex with a partner, fantasizing until you spontaneously come. I don't care how you do it, but you know the sensation. I think we all do. You're there and you can feel yourself throbbing with the very essence of sensual desire. Your brain is telling you you really need to get some. You are really in a place where not getting off would simply leave you unsatisfied and itching. And it is like an itch. The more you try to ignore it, the more powerful it gets. Eventually, you will scratch. Or get somebody else to scratch for you. Well, that's the feeling which somehow centered on the foot that touches down outside of your bubble of safety. Resonates through the rest of you. And then the other foot. Second step. And you find yourself gasping. Maybe at that point your knees began to become weak. Or it's distinctly possible that the rapid increase in your breathing rate, heart rate, caused you to shudderingly relax as you suddenly felt invigorated, giving you more vigor with which to satisfy an aching need. What definitely did happen is, and let us tackle this from the viewpoint of the outside observer, hands flew between your legs, your body arched forward, and unceremoniously moved to its knees, and then face first down in the comfortable, clean sand of the garden space, stroking and rubbing, making you gasp and twitch, fall lifelessly on your side, then roll to your back with pleasure, moaning your way through, your body wreathing, because any contact with the air or the ground around you brings greater stimulation. Because the air, the grounds of this place, completely sings with pleasure and the concealed lust, the echoes of every lusty act done in this tainted, wonderful, terrifying place. And so every movement is a sensual one. Among those who have been here before, who have fallen into these depths, surely someone liked the feel of sand underfoot. Surely someone liked their thighs stroked or their forearms rubbed. Surely someone with every conceivable erogenous zone has been here. And if all their echoed experiences crowd up upon you, so that mere movement brushes you against something sensitive every time, then those sensations are inescapable. There's no action you can take that isn't sensual to someone. And so you have fallen prey to the perversions of the human species. Because in their prior arousals, all those who've come to this domain of lust, this altered, shifted dimension within the maze, have doomed you by their arousal. The echoes of how they get off have hung here. And while one or two or ten little psychic impressions of the prior occupants of this maze might not be too powerful, hundreds or thousands are enough to overwhelm the mind. And that's when you realize you need it. You need to get off. But your mere touching is not enough. You crave a lover's grasp. You crave holding and pleasure, and on some level you crave use. After all, if you're getting in touch with what is primal and sexual in human nature, then there must be satisfaction associated with performing the associated function of getting off, of bringing pleasure and receiving pleasure, and becoming part of a loop, a cycle that is never-ending, unavoidable, that always resurges when you least expect it. Problem is, however would you go out and seek someone to fuck? In your current state, languid, relaxed, entranced, aroused, you think about standing, but you may find that any attempt to get to your feet just results in you realizing just how arousing it is to lay right where you are and keep your hands between your legs, and how it's impossible to get up when your legs are spread widely to give you as much access as possible, and to display yourself to the surrounding world. That heat haze is still there, as if some vapored form of sexual need were floating around here waiting to adhere to anyone foolhardy enough to leave their bubble of protection. But that's okay. This is a place of the mind, and the mind has a little extra power here. This is perhaps your last coherent thought, as you reach out with your mind for someone, anyone who can hear your silent pleas. Silent because, at this moment, it may have occurred to you that your mouth is frozen open in an orgasmic O, or perhaps waiting for something to occupy it, that you are too far gone for any purpose but further pleasure. The lust is inside you, heady, artificial, but no less real. Created by what you exposed yourself to when you essentially aerosolized that lust draft, pouring it into the roots of this place, reminding this place what it was some years ago, when it was cultivated to be nothing but a plaza of lust, a place where the pheromonal vapors of all the surrounding plants sent anyone who walked through it into paroxysms, spasms. Part of your brain wonders if you should crawl up to the house. After all, with the maze out of the way, it's closed off. No longer. But that thought is too coherent and requires too much coordinated action. You turn and look toward the house and sigh. And then keep calling. And something answers. Perhaps it wasn't what you were thinking of when you begged in your head, please, anyone, help me relieve this need. When you felt the swelling dam begging for release inside your body. But the faint slithering along the ground tells you, you're going to get your wish. It begins with a feeling of binding around your ankles. Already splayed wide, of course, because you want to expose and invite. Where your clothing went is, well, it's a question. Without much relevance, access is good. Your ability to rub and touch is good. And the fact that the vines are slowly stripping you, debriding you of everything that might interfere, well, that's good too. In fact, in your addled mind, pretty much everything seems like a good idea. Emptiness overtakes and fuels a greater indulgence in the pure physicality of your rub, stroke, stroke, pleasure, your brain sparking with periodic ideas, isolated words, and deep emptiness. Trapped in a sensation of bliss beyond normal understanding, too intense to even think about. But in experiencing it, you realize maybe there's some kindred sense between you and the horny entity lining up to torment you. But you sense its intentions. And someone, somewhere in the throng of worrisome, needy ghosts, wants to be filled. The tendrils are powerful, almost like latex in their shiny smoothness, but more nimble and warm underneath, radiating heat, a similar heat to the sensual need that is coating the air. And through a dim haze, you see one in front of you, grabbing. And then you experience a strange sense of weightlessness. It takes a moment. Something slick, probing, ringing around the entrance to your hole, making you wet and ready, sliding nimbly around the rim. And then, in front of you, you notice a tendril that's the same brilliantly pink hue as the lust draft from before. Some still barely sentient part of your mind might have worked out that this is what the hedge maze would look like if it were fed a steady diet of lust draft, if it were made aroused, given the power of arousal, made a nest for all the same aroused feelings that go into brewing a lust potion in the first place. And then you realize that whatever that dripping liquid just drooling off the tendril in front of your mouth is, it's going to have the same effect as that draft that you poured into this garden. Maybe your mouth automatically opens. Maybe the tendril has to force its way in. But that liquid, it tingles, It has no particular taste, but a kind of eerie numbness descends over your head, followed by a gasp, followed by every physiological sign of arousal you've ever manifested, the arching of the body, the feeling between your legs that you just need to be, thrusting, need to be experiencing it, and a strange feeling of emptiness. You need to be as satiated as possible. Below you, you see one of those red flowers that was visible upon entering the maze the first time, but it's closed over as if it were waiting to bloom. And you notice that the supple tips of the petals are curved inward, and then it slides up between your legs and affixes to you and begins to suck. And that's when your arched back gives rise to an opening, and the long, thin tendril behind you darts in and thrusts. Oh, so good. Your head closed. Oh, wow. Clouds with sensation. Your body oozes with need. You need this. There's a feeling of fullness, of profound stretching. And then that suckling picks up intensity, as if the taste of you were enough to get this place excited. You find yourself suspended between a set of tendrils, one behind you, one suckling, one being suckled on. And the more you give in to the sensation, the more you're rewarded with that heady aphrodisiac, sliding down your throat, moving you to a point of bursting. On the one hand, you want to come. You need to come. On the other, you never want this to be over. If you were too spent, you wouldn't be able to keep charging this place up with your energies. And then you feel it. In a faint sense, psychic impressions remain whenever a powerful emotion has been felt in a given location. It's the same theory behind ghosts. The idea that they are psychic impressions of people, at their best or their worst, left behind. And these impressions, many of them from people who are still living, are very powerful indeed. The landscape has become a lustscape. Every bit of it seems sensual. The air is liquid with heat. Being nude in this place is the most comfortable thing in the world, and your skin is being titillated by the very air. Thrust, thrust, thrust. A feeling of being stretched out, violated, made to need it. And you realize that in the center of your head is an emptiness, waiting to be filled, and it is being filled more and more. But every time you think you've been filled to capacity, you find, the ability to take more of it. And you slowly fall into the rhythm. Thrust, suck, drink, thrust, suck, drink. The tendril thrusting into you, your body bound in place, subjected to this. The suckling between your legs, dragging your thoughts out of you, sending too much pleasure as if a skillful lover's mouth were assaulting you with need. Your own mouth suckling, subconsciously attempting to get as much of that arousing chemical into your head as you can, putting you on the razor's edge. You didn't think anyone could ever be this aroused. Oh, and the very idea of it, even the voice you hear now, tinged with arousal and need, drilling into you, the essence of that place, violating, so that what you might have thought or done if you had complete possession of your faculties is neither here nor there. Can you imagine that? A person truly driven to the edge of need, driven to a state of arousal so profound that all they could do is masturbate and beg for someone to help them get off. And when it's satisfied, imagine how grateful you must be. And part of your mind realizes that the viands pleasuring you are empowered by the same lustful spirit as you. Imagine how aroused they must be in their primitive way. crawling over you, more of your body becoming covered by the warm, sensual rubbing. Under your arms, the backs of your knees, your feet, your legs, your thighs, your chest, your abs, every part of you being rubbed, massaged, made to tingle with need. And you know that by suckling, you're giving it pleasure. By squeezing your muscles around its invading tendril, by arching your body into that suckling, you're giving pleasure to the agency that answered your call, the thing that fuels your need. And your suckling maybe becomes more frantic. You don't want to be a selfish lover after all. For even though you are lying there in the air, a passive object being acted upon, you still have power to bring your lover to as much pleasure as you're being tormented with. Yes, maybe some part of you realizes this as an opportunity to get back at what is giving you this profound thrust and need. Maybe you feel like coming, but your brain won't let you. It won't let you until you know you've satisfied your viney lover to the point of its own relaxation. Plus, maybe exhausting it is the only way you'll get out of here. As that thought goes through your brain, you thrust against the vines, back and then forward, back and then forward, the invasion rubbing a little spot in you that sparks a throwing back of your head. You're on the edge, but you can't go over until you know you've done a good job. Yes. A good job. A few parts of your brain turn themselves back on. The pleasure overtakes body and mind and just inundates into you. Waves. It's like it radiates from the core. The thrusting, the filling, the suckling on your most sensitive parts. And your mouth working, trying to get as much of that chemical into you as you can. So much so you can almost feel your stomach bulging with the drinking of it. Your head heady with the narcotic haze of need. But it's all right. You know full well that this is the pleasure that you deserve. And no part of you would ever reject this resonation. And you know that when you've pleased your partner enough that it is spent, that this natural force has been made tired by the sheer pleasure of being inside you, that you will then be allowed to come. And that the little flower affixed to you will sucklingly, twitchingly bring you over the edge. But for now, it's just keeping you dancing there, tormenting you. And you know that that's a challenge. Suddenly, engage your mouth. Let your lips clamp down. They clamp down and suckle. Your tongue darts in spiraling circles, even as you clench your buttocks. Your legs reaching out and wrapping around the vine, pulling it further into you. You rub downward, thrusting, moving your body, your body, your thighs, everything simply rubs against that flower, enticing it to suckle and latch on with a vacuum-like seal. Suck, suck, pumping the blood through your body, draining it to that one spot, making you twitch spasmodically, but you keep your eyes on the prize. You begin moving your head forward and back, bobbing, suckling in your cheeks so you touch more of the vine. And you notice that the vines are shuddering now. You hear a distant rustling in the bushes. Whatever motive force is keeping you up, whatever is fueling them, maybe it's getting tired. Maybe you allow yourself a knowing smirk, taking the power back even as you have it taken from you, pleasuring, suckling. Squeezing your muscles all over it, letting yourself ripple, discovering new ways to please a lover who, after all, won't be spent easily. You're held there, bound, and yet you've found a freedom unmatched in your imprisonment. The freedom to give in to your lusts, to use them to bring as much pleasure to another. The vines teaching you how to be an entity much like them. Someone who seeks to instill such pleasure in their partner that they are rendered weak, rendered insensate, rendered vulnerable for further pleasure. Teaching lessons of submission and pleasure in all new ways at all times. And your head simply fixates on it, twitching through it, holding on to it, trying to remember this moment. In fact, the moment is so transcendental, when you finally sense your partner coming, quote-unquote, that you freeze it in your mind. It's as if you observe your body from outside, hanging, suspended inches above the sand of that place, in between two long rows of well-appointed, powerful plants, the hedges, flowing from them vines, one around your ankle, one around the other ankle, one around each wrist, one wrapped around your waist, holding you up strongly from above, one vine invading you, filling you, your muscles clenched, your face frozen in a look of ecstasy. Your mouth open, suckling a lurid pink vine that drips its aphrodisiac chemicals down your throat. The suckling flower nestled between your legs, absorbing you, somehow containing all of you. You hanging there, you feel something in the back of your throat, a whimper, a gasp, powerful, rising up through you as if you were the channel for something older, stronger, more potent. And then you feel a spurt in your mouth, that lust draft flowing freely. You drink more, wondering for how long you're going to be twitchingly aroused after this. And you drink more, realizing that the plant has discharged its purpose. It begins to wilt and fall down and slither back home. You feel yourself laid gently on the ground, and only then does your mind return to your body, and your brain realizes, I made it come. You give it a parting squeeze from your muscles as it withdraws with a pop. And then you're allowed. You realize, as the flower continues to suckle, you're finally allowed to come. It's being gentlemanly or gentlewomanly, and allowing you time to come. Perhaps apologetic because its bondage vines have left after their weakening. You feel it welling up behind your buttocks, which clench, in the back of your brain, which goes white hot with pleasure. You're coming. Come. And the release flows through you. And you wake several minutes later. But first, you must experience the now. The coming just runs through you. It's like all your nerves have been turned into little buttons that say pleasure, and everyone is being pushed. You never thought the feeling of your stomach against sand could possibly resonate through you, like your most sensitive spot being pushed with a vibrating pleasure. Ooh. And yet, it vibrates in you. You resonate. You half wonder if that lust draft hasn't sent you into an overdose of orgasmic proportions. But a good one, a liberating one, frozen there, coming, coming so hard. And when you wake, it's to find yourself back at the entrance, still orgasming, still twitching from afterglow and aftershock, and perhaps ready for more, but so exhausted and painted with fluids that maybe it'll have to wait a bit.